Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right. Oh, what an emotional main event on Dynamite. Jay Briscoe being tributed on TBS, on AEW Dynamite. Good ended up prevailing in this one. And we'll talk about a few behind-the-scenes things. Something that is not getting any play that I'm a little bit shocked about. But I will let everybody know right off the bat, this will be a very fast show tonight. I just wanted to sit back, relax, enjoy Dynamite, more of a wrestling fan. Curiosity to see what we were going to see tonight as far as paying tribute to Jay Briscoe. And not only that, you know, just doing a lot of bit. Great grammar. I'm with Taz tonight. Taz even admitted some poor grammar tonight. A lot of reflection, you know. It's something that I'm going to share with everybody out there. By the way, you know, today would have been Jay Briscoe's birthday. We actually talked about that last week. You know, he and Mark Briscoe, you know, a couple of years apart, but they are within a week of each other pretty much of birthdays. Today would have been his 39th birthday. Today they did a candlelight vigil for Jay Briscoe. I believe the funeral service will be this Sunday. And, you know, I got to show this right off the bat. I mean, obviously everybody tonight, for the most part, wanted to see the tribute for Jay Briscoe and the match with Mark Briscoe versus Jay Lethal. I know some of you out there wanted it to open up Dynamite. Some of you out there wanted it to main event Dynamite. Honestly, they did it perfect. The match itself, I got to say one thing before I show you something. You know, when you see Jay Lethal come to the ring and he is sobbing, I mean, he is sobbing. They are showing some beautiful signs of respect early on after the match. And not only that, going off the air and seeing the entire locker room, you know, baby faces, heels, tears, smiles, you know, it is sad, but it is also a celebration. You know, I think many times, and honestly, that means they're doing their job. I think many times get too suspended into the characters that we see on TV. And you realize that, you know, when it comes to just real life, everybody, yeah, what you perceive on TV is not necessarily what goes on in the real world. And let me tell you something. You know, as far as my thumbnail for tonight's show, all right, this was a quote from Tony Khan over the weekend. I fought hard to get Mark Briscoe on AEW Dynamite. And the number one question that everybody has still to this day is, who did he actually fight with? Did he fight with executives in Warner Media? As some people still think, did he fight with EVPs? And maybe some people within AEW didn't want to see it, which I think is a little bit ridiculous. You know, if you do your research, you learn very quickly that, you know, a majority of AEW behind the scenes absolutely knew the truth about Jay Briscoe. My initial reaction to Tony Khan's comment was, you know, give me the Obama flashback. You know, when Osama bin Laden, I know some people right now say, DT, what the fuck you talking about? You know, we had this conversation not too long ago about Tony Khan. Tony Khan gets into a habit of doing something that Barack Obama used to do. And this is not a bash on Barack Obama, but a lot of people will agree with me on this. You know, whenever something would happen, instead of we did it, or, you know, our military did it, or we all did. You know, he would always say, I did this, I did this, I instructed this, I did this, I did this, I did that. And that was my initial reaction when I heard Tony Khan's remark. But then it started getting to me a little bit. I said, you know what? As much as we criticize Tony Khan, as much as we call out his immaturity, as much as we call out his doses of being a petulant child, you know how hard and how difficult this must be for him to basically have this company on his back where people are accusing executives, people are accusing him of not doing enough. People like, why did AEW be on TV for 3 years and the Briscoes were never considered? Why did it take Jay Briscoe's death for a lot of people to really hardcore find out how good of a person this guy has been? That, you know, he's a very religious person. And I know some people don't want the hard facts, and this is just me just talking off the cuff right now. But, you know, there are some religions where they don't believe in gay marriage, all right? Me, I have no problem with it. I have relatives of mine who are married who are gay. And, you know, I was brought up with Catholicism, being a Catholic, the Bible, and things, you know, were not looked at as acceptable. You know, I learned over the years and I changed my views from my friends who were gay, relatives who were gay, you know, seeing that, you know, you love someone, you know, sometimes it's the same sex, you know, for some people out there, it could be multiple, you know, but the point is, you know, someone's belief, if it doesn't jive with you, doesn't make it evil, it doesn't make it hatred. You know, there are a lot of heterosexual people out there that feel a little uncomfortable to talk about the issue of gay marriage and this and that. And I'm not justifying what Jay Briscoe said way back when, but if you read between the lines, he never hated gays, never disliked homosexuality. He felt uncomfortable about others. You know, I'll bring up my kids. You know, you teach. And, you know, and I think it's just that shallow mentality that if it doesn't go along a certain line, and it doesn't have to just be about sexuality, it could be about anything. If it doesn't go along this fine line, you're ridiculed, criticized, you're labeled, and that sticks with you, man. And do you know the reason why Jay Briscoe was tributed tonight on Dynamite? Do you know why Mark Briscoe was allowed to wrestle in the main event on Dynamite? Because of Tony Khan. Because of all of you. Because of the TV networks in Delaware. WRDE. WBOC. All the news articles. All the local venues. You hear about the kids, you hear about Jay Briscoe, you see them up close and impersonal, down to earth in the neighborhood, beloved. And this is what I want to show you. You know, last week I showed you this picture because the family shared it with everybody. I'd like to show you another picture. Do you know who that is? That is Lillian Turnahan. She is the one that also died in the auto accident. And those are her two kids that now have no mother. Why am I bringing her up? Because few of you brought to my attention the last 5 days that a lot of AEW fans, a lot of pro wrestling fans, some names that I would love to call out right now. I got screenshots. I guarantee you they're back on Facebook deleting shit. You would not believe how many people out there who were sobbing tonight that went on that family's Facebook page and cursed out the entire family for what she did to Jay Briscoe. Totally cursed them out, destroyed them, hate evil, wishing death on other family members. Do you know that the Briscoe family, the Pugh family, told everybody today, especially in Delaware, if you're thinking about sending flowers, send a donation to the Turnahan family. Jay Briscoe's own family are asking everyone, instead of flowers, you know, send something to that family. Because we don't know all the details in the accident. Of course, our initial reaction is someone who we loved in the world of pro wrestling and was a genuinely good person was taken away from us. Unfortunately, accidents do happen. And of course, you have that bitterness. But if you took a step back and if you really knew how religious the Pugh family is and how dedicated they are to their community and how they are selfish they are, would you have expected anything less from Jay Briscoe's own family saying, send money, send a donation to those kids? That's not, hey, I don't need your pity. No, they actually, it was an accident. Now, if we are ever privy to the details of the accident, we'll have another conversation. But you'd be surprised how many people that you saw tonight on social media and what they wrote on that family's Facebook page the last 5 days. I don't want to name any names, but people in pro wrestling have donated money to that family. And it was a horrible accident. Nobody that day was planning on losing their life. So when you think about today, and you think about Jay Briscoe, and you think about the fact that he was honored on AEW Dynamite, understand it's not just any one person. It was not the Young Bucks. It was not Kenny Omega. It was not Tony Khan. It was not the fans out there. It was not the local people in Delaware. It was everybody. And let me say one last thing in closing, and then we'll get into quick results, and I'm getting out of here. We're going to have a very quick show tonight. Should we, this is the question I think people are asking, you know, and this is what I ask in the end. You know, who did Tony Khan actually fight with all his time for the last couple of years, and especially after Jay's tragic accident? Who in Warner Media, who is he actually fighting with? And I ask you all now, should it matter anymore? Does it matter anymore? I don't think it does. In that world, in the executive world, this is my honest, just an opinion, this is my honest take on what I believed happened with Warner Media and the Briscoes not being on AEW television for 3 years and the week delay in Jay Briscoe being honored the way he should have been. I just personally think the executives, and this, I'm just giving you my opinion, the executives in AEW never cared enough to take the ample time to see how good of a person Jermaine Pugh was. You saw a comment on social media, and that's like, well, no, emails come in, deleted, deleted, deleted. You know, you have a comment box, you want to send an opinion, an email, deleted, deleted, deleted. Nobody bothered. You know, even if Tony Khan has to be very careful also. He doesn't want to be, it's not like the Shawshank Redemption, where that guy was trying to get money for the library, and he would send a letter like every single day until he got what he wanted. And then when he got what he wanted, he doubled the letters and tripled the letters. You know, that doesn't work in the real world. This is the billionaires, trillionaires. This is corporate business. This is networks. They never bothered to do any research or to see truly, you know, AEW management sends an email, a phone call. Hey, you know, could we do this? Let me tell you something. This is not being reported yet, but I guarantee you the EVPs are going to send the crumbs because a lot of us pretty much knew this already. That video tribute package was sent to WarnerMedia to see before it aired on TV tonight. And it was a beautiful package. I cannot play the audio. We don't want any copyright issues on the show. But that had to be sent. And it was done out of respect. You know, as much as you may dislike WarnerMedia right now, it was done out of respect for the network for caving in. And I don't even call it caving in. They just never bothered to look. Can you blame them? I don't know. You know, but when they saw the TMZ articles, when they saw the articles, and just do a Google search, look up WRDE, look up WBOC. Yes, I have it written down because I don't know those stations by heart. You look at the articles, you look at the candlelight vigil, you look at the Pew family telling people, you know, send a donation to the other person's family if you have the means. And you start hearing about stories and local tributes, and you see him playing with his kids. This is not no homophobic, evil person. And just because they may look like two Southern hillbillies, that it might be racist, it might be a That's the ignorant perception when you say, hey, no teeth. You know, they never bothered to look. I don't know if they should have. I mean, as selfish wrestling fans, yes. But it was the outpouring of love amongst the wrestling community. It was AEW trying to get someone there. Just take a few minutes. Look at this. Look at that. Look at this. And they saw what you see on the screen right now. This is not a person. You know, you want to say Chris Benoit shouldn't be on TV? Okay, that's fine. You know, but this, nah. That's why WarnerMedia, in my opinion, didn't have them on until now. So at this point, even though, and I don't mean to sound really explicit, even though there's some pricks in WarnerMedia, there's pricks in every major company, but there's some hardcore pricks there that they're just cold. They don't want to be bothered. No. My decision's final. Leave me alone with that. You know, can't break through to them sometimes, but they saw online. They saw what was going around. They saw that everything being posted is nothing but positive about him, about the family, the unselfishness, how close they were with the community, how much they gave back. And somebody in WarnerMedia finally said, all right. So at this point, I'm fine with everything. I don't care about what names, you know, some people are trying to dox names, which is very dangerous because you might get the wrong name out there. That's why I never posted any names. But the fact is, they paid a beautiful tribute tonight. Not only with that video package, but a spectacular match with Mark Briscoe and Jay Lethal. Obviously, the match results, very predictable. You do not have Mark Briscoe lose in a tribute for his brother. And this was an extremely emotional match, not only for the beautiful shirt. By the way, if you go on Pro Wrestling Tees, AEW Shop, you ordered a shirt, all the proceeds go to the Pugh family. I already got mine on order. Hey, good for them, man. They were able to wear it tonight, wear it proud. Jay Lethal losing it a little bit tonight. You have Mark Briscoe coming out there with both championships. You know, the one thing that I said over the last week that a lot of people were taking notice is, you know, one really beautiful thing coming out of his passing is there are a lot of new Briscoe Brothers fans. There are a lot of new fans of the Briscoes that never gave them the time of day in the past. Maybe because of Ring of Honor, maybe because of the perception of what they were, which was not true. The match itself, you know, had some fun moments. I mean, one of the great moments that we had was Mark Briscoe getting a little froggy, a little frog splash slash elbow through Jay Lethal, through the table to the outside floor. Towards the end of the match, Mark Briscoe with a pair of lariats and the Jay Driller beating Jay Briscoe. Nothing but respect, nothing but love. Very, very physical match. And in the end, you had Mark Briscoe coming out on top. He goes to the hard camera and talking about Jay Briscoe's kids, talking to his brother Jay. And as I showed you, going up the rampway, and everybody who was there tonight on the rampway, you know, just, and it just, it's closure. It's closure. You're going to deal with asshole executives in the future for various reasons. I mean, look at what came out in the last 7 days about this slapping championship garbage that's out there. That is beyond, I mean, I know it's been around for years, but this is beyond ridiculous. And somebody high up in Warner Media actually, you know, thought that pro wrestling fans, oh, they would love this. They would love this. That guy with his face like this, I can't even do it. You know, I mean, I don't give a shit what you do. Unless you're fighting terrorists or is fucking you going Rambo in some foreign country and killing the bad people and you come out in and your face looks distorted like that, that's the only reason, or you have a bad allergic reaction to something. Get a bad allergic reaction to something and you look like that. There is no sport whatsoever, there is nothing that could justify looking like that. And Warner thought that we would all like that. So you got to deal with idiots. But they're the ones with power. We have to just accept it. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, Jay Lethal. Jay Briscoe. A lot of Jays. A lot of Pages. You know, Jay Lethal really put a smile on my face today. You know, I've showed nothing but love for that guy. I remember going to Jersey. I brought this up in the past. I remember going to Jersey Old Pro Wrestling 20 years ago. Sitting in the rafters. This is a memory that will always stick with me. I don't know if this ever gets to Jay Lethal, but believe me, a lot of us out there, this is a memory that is implanted in our minds and our hearts. When he first broke into pro wrestling, and he was wrestling like Jersey All Pro and some other feds before he, you know, made it elsewhere, his family used to always sit in the right corner, or if you're looking at the hard camera, from the left corner of the boondocks. They were the loudest people in the room. Every time we went to a wrestling event, at the beginning of his career, and he was wrestling, there would be a group of people just yelling and screaming, and it was his family. And I never forget, and I know some of you remember the match. I think it was Teddy Hart. Was it Teddy Hart versus Homicide? I think it was Teddy Hart versus Homicide. Myself, Low Life Louie, Ramos, and a few others, we all went to that Jersey All Pro event, and we were sitting in the crowd, and they started brawling into the crowd, and it's on video, it's on YouTube, and they brawled right into our laps, because Homicide and Louie were like this. I mean, without getting a little bit too personal, we were all in Louie's wedding party, you know, so that night also, Jay Lethal was on the card, and his family yelling and screaming. I mean, he had such an awesome support group out there, and he still does. That's why when some of the accusations that came out, you know, very unfounded, and just so not Jay Lethal, you know. And to see him tonight, as emotional as he is, he really does wear his heart on his strings, but he's such a damn good heel, man. He's such a damn good heel, and believe me, years ago, before even TNA, never in a million years did we ever think that that would be his path, but he's so good as a heel. But you see him tonight, you know, this is him as a human being, as a person, someone who truly, truly loved Jay Briscoe. So, really fun match tonight, really fun match. All right, match results from tonight's Dynamite. Chris Jericho and Sammy Guevara over Ricky Starks and Action Andretti. As we expected, Action Andretti eats the pin on this match. Towards the end of the match, Action Andretti had Ricky Starks up. He had Sammy Guevara up, and, referee is distracted. And let me tell you something. Props for Action Andretti for not, because a lot of wrestlers, their immediate reaction is to put their hands up because you don't really want to get hit with something. And Daniel Garcia with the bat and basically nails Action Andretti. And, when I saw it, I was like, wow, it was like a perfect, it was shown on TV so perfect. Beautiful camera angle, beautiful way it was executed. Now, just because Action Andretti loses, it's still early in his career. I know some people will complain about Ricky Starks on the loose side. This is just progression of a storyline. Let's see 3 months from now what Ricky Starks is doing. Then we could be concerned. But this was a fun opening match tonight, and Guevara and Jericho get the win. Darby Allin beating Buddy Matthews in an excellent match that, for me, probably would have liked it to go a little longer. But obviously, because of what we saw, with the tribute and the video package and some other things, it was good enough as far as time. After the match is over, Samoa Joe is on the screen. Darby, he wants his championship back. This will probably lead to the return of Wardlow because we have not seen Wardlow since he had his haircut. So I wonder if he's completely bald now. He might be, shaved almost down to nothing. We don't know. But anyway, we get a match scheduled for next week. Darby Allin versus Samoa Joe, no holds barred. For the TNT Championship. I think No Holds Barred tells us that Wardlow is almost a lock to show up. But Samoa Joe on the screen, issuing a challenge early on. The match is made. We will see it next week. Jungle Boy and Hook over Ethan Page and Matt Hardy. And I got to show you this. I thought this was hilarious. When the Jericho Appreciation Society first came out for their match, they had their, towels and threw it up in the air. And I was actually going to try to do it here because I just think simply because of the way, things fall down. This is what happened to Jericho. He throws it up in the air and it lands on his head. I thought that was fucking funny. One more time. See, I'm kind of afraid if I throw something up the air right now, it'll knock a light. It'll knock my little air freshener. Yes. By the way, if you're ever into like scents, Capri Blue Volcano, that is the scent. I keep a nice air freshener nearby. It makes the room a little bit nicer smelling. Not that I smell, but it's relaxing. It's a little relaxing. But I had to show you that with Jericho. I thought that was hilarious. But Jungle Boy and Hook over Ethan Page and Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy in control. Wants to go for the twist of fate on Jungle Boy, but Ethan Page insists that he gets tagged in. So Matt Hardy tags Ethan Page in. Unfortunately, Ethan Page is unable to execute the twist of fate. Jungle Boy with the snare trap and Jungle Hook win. And, this storyline with Jungle Boy and Hook is interesting. Two young guys forming a tag team. I think once Christian is ready to return from injury, we'll probably see Jungle Hook feud with Luchasaurus and Christian, which is going to be a really interesting, scenario. Not saying that Hook is going to lose, but, it's going to be interesting to see if that plays out. I don't even know if we will get to that point. But as far as Matt Hardy and Ethan Page feuding, I'd rather see them doing something than nothing at all. So it was okay. Bryan Danielson over Brian Cage in a really good match. You could see that we've talked about it before. Brian Cage could go. Unfortunately, a lot of these great matches that he has, unless it's on Elevation, he loses. And look, we know anybody that Bryan Danielson is facing right now is going to lose. I hate storylines like that. Did Mickey James lose and you retire? You know, if you're at the end of someone's career and you know they're retiring, I don't mind a storyline like that because we never know when the last match is the last. So we know she's going to lose. She's going to retire. We just don't know when. It could be a month from now. It could be 6 months from now. It could be next week. I don't like it when it's a stipulation that if Bryan Danielson wins all his matches, he gets the title shot at the pay-per-view. You know he ain't losing any of those matches. So, you know, for me, I think two predictable matches, especially when you've seen it all, you know, it doesn't become as much CTV. I love a match where I can't call a winner. And speaking of that, I think everybody and their mother expected Toni Storm to beat Ruby Soho tonight. We didn't get any Saraya. As I said last week, I was not looking forward to this match tonight. Not because Toni Storm and Ruby Soho can't work, but it doesn't make sense with the storyline. You have Saraya and Toni Storm calling out the AEW original idiots. So, in my opinion, the only people Toni Storm should be beating right now or facing in the ring are some AEW original idiots. You know, she goes and she's fighting someone who was not an AEW original idiot. And Ruby Soho tried to save it a little bit with her promo today that this is the best wrestling company with the best women and don't disrespect them and this and that. But I thought, okay, Toni Storm cheating to win, but we didn't get that tonight. Toni Storm faking an injury, Ruby showing a little bit of sympathy, backfires. We think Toni Storm is about to get the win. Britt Baker's music hits. Britt Baker, injured, will not miss much time, but injured right now. But still, her music hits. She goes on the stage. Toni Storm is confused why she's coming out there. That was enough to distract Toni Storm enough. Turns around. Ruby Soho hits a finisher. 1, 2, 3. Toni Storm loses. So this is turning out to, we're probably going to get a match at the pay-per-view. The AEW originals, maybe. There's a problem there, and I think you all know what the problem is. The AEW originals versus the AEW outsiders. Do you call them outsiders? But the problem is, you look at the originals for AEW, there are not enough as far as upper-tier talent. You got your Britt Baker. I consider Jamie Hayter close to an AEW original because she came into AEW very, very early on. She was a little bit heavier, if you remember. And then she went right back to Japan. And obviously, COVID was part of the reason that she was stood there. But you look at the upper echelon of AEW women's talent, and a lot are women signed from outside. So, you know, we probably will see Britt Baker maybe teaming up with Ruby Soho. As ridiculous as that may sound for some of you out there, you may see that. They may have to shove a Ty Mello in that team as well. But it looks like that's where we're going with this. So I'm fine with it. You know, it's interesting. It's interesting. Now, I don't want to go out of place, but since we're talking about women's wrestling, a little cheap plug for anybody that's interested. This Friday, I am doing a live stream. Right after SmackDown, you're welcome to join me here for Royal Rumble predictions. We will definitely talk about the Royal Rumble. But I think we will spend a few minutes talking about the hashtag Give WWE Women a Chance. And this
is a good memory. How didn't they showcase anything from the women's evolution?
But also the way we did our matches.
Sasha Banks and their.
You're not even. Get dressed before. We're going to talk about that on Friday as well. If anybody tuned into my show on Monday, and much love to everybody who did, and a lot of you who are new, we talked about the Bellas not appearing. And I said that someone had given me a really controversial answer, you know, as far as why they didn't appear. And WWE really, they wanted to do a hell of a lot more at the 30th anniversary show, and WWE pretty much want them to be in the poker room But there's more to it. But I'm going to address that hashtag that people were running with for the last 48 hours. We'll talk about that on Friday. I don't want to give too much away right now, but let's just say, where is all the hashtag give AEW women a chance? And you actually look at their TV and you look at how much of a disparity that is, and you don't hear nothing. You hear very, very, shh, don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. And I will say something Friday about the Bellas themselves. I'll give you a little taste. You watch that video of what they recorded. I don't blame WWE for saying, stay home. We don't need you. We don't need you. Especially Nikki. I'll have a field day Friday with that. We'll have some fun. So Tony Storm over Ruby Soho and Mark Briscoe over Jay Lethal, as we talked about earlier. Beautiful match. I hope Ring of Honor retires those tag team championships. No, they're not going to retire tag team championships, the division. I'm talking about the belts themselves. I think maybe they come out with a new design and let that era of Ring of Honor with those tag titles retire with the Briscoes. Another thing is, what do you do about Mark Briscoe as a tag team champion? Does he get a new partner? I don't know about that. I mean, look, he's going to have to wrestle. You know, he still has many years left in his career. I mean, we've had wrestlers lose family members before that were tag team wrestlers. You know, even though this is tragic and devastating, you know, it'll never be the same without Jay Briscoe. Yeah, you're right. But at the same point, though, you know, Mark Briscoe, you know, probably better as a tag team wrestler than a singles wrestler. Not saying he can't hold his own, but we'll see what happens. Listen, this might be the one benefit right now that Ring of Honor does not have many shows. Because if they had many more shows and they were touring, this might be a bigger issue. But right now, you know, look, Jay just died a week ago. It's only been a week. So there's no need to address it right now. But if I'm a betting man, something tells me that maybe those title belts get retired. So we'll see what happens. Now, we had a very good Adam Cole video package teasing his return, which I am so looking forward to. Some people are comparing it to Cody Rhodes' return. Yeah, I don't have any issue with that. I don't have any issue with that. I compare Adam Cole's return a little bit more to like Bryan Danielson because of, you know, head injury. But, you know, it's just wonderful to know. And they're going to take baby steps with Adam Cole. There's no reason to rush it. Hangman Page with an awkward interview with John Moxley. I almost drew a blank for a minute. John Moxley's wife, Renee Paquette. Last week, he's like, feels a little awkward talking to John Moxley's wife. Even though Renee's doing her job, you know, Paige is like, you know, and he's about to say to you, like, tell him I hope he's okay. And he's like, never mind. But it felt like he felt a little awkward that he's throwing shade at the interviewer's husband. Tonight, though, that's all out the door because Renee is interviewing Paige. And he's talking about how, you know, next week I think they're going to be in Dayton and he wants the third match and he wants to give it to Moxley again. And I'm like, okay, where's the awkward moment where Paige feels a little bit like, in, you know, like awkward that he's saying this to his wife? And it wasn't. And then Yuta, I know a lot of you like Yuta, but he is awful with fucking promos. It's so forced and fake and cued. And he's like, I'm going to do to Moxley. And then Yuta just bought. Oh, you think you could do this to my... Well, guess what? He's going to accept the challenge. And, you know, why don't you do it to someone who's not injured? Oh, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. I think people pop more the fact that Hangman Page is going to wrestle on Rampage Friday than the fact that he's taking on Wheeler Yuta. You look at that promo, it's just like, it's almost like, go! And then he enters the picture. It just, sometimes it's too fit. Oh. That's how I always feel about Yuta, with all due respect. We had family therapy. The Acclaimed and the Guns, they're at Family Therapy with Billy Gunn. I think everybody was just talking about the therapist's legs. Everybody's like, who's the therapist? I think she used to be a baddie. Not kidding. I think she actually was in the crowd with an AEW event not too long ago as one of the baddies. I'm telling you, I'm probably wrong, but I think that's why so many people think she looks familiar. But they're doing Family Therapy, and basically what it comes down to is Billy Gunn is sick and tired of all this friction. And Billy Gunn basically asks his sons, like, what do you want out of all of this? And they said, we want those. We want those tag team championships. Now, the two things that I got from that segment, two things I got from it. Number one, if Max Caster and Anthony Bowens called you on the phone tomorrow just to say, hey, what's going on? How you doing? You probably wouldn't even know it's them on the phone. When they talk in their normal voice, it sounds nothing like when they cut promos. A lot of wrestlers are like that. You know, they cut promos on TV and then they do a regular casual conversation like, I would have never, ever known it was them. The second thing is, I think Billy Gunn is going to turn on the Acclaimed. I think Billy Gunn is going to cost the Acclaimed the tag team championships, and the Gunn Club are set to be your next tag team champions. I kind of feel that's where they're going. You almost feel like they got to give the rub to the Gunn Club, even if it's for a short period of time. Are they ready to be tag team champs? I think for AEW, the Trios titles are their major belts. Tradition says tag team. But for me, Trios, because they have emphasized Trios wrestling for the last couple of years. It's almost like their six-sided ring. If you think about TNA, you know, like their one factor that identified them from everyone else was their six-sided ring. For AEW, I think their Trios titles are the ones that they kind of put a little bit more effort into. You know, nothing against tag team wrestling, but it feels like the tag team wrestling now is in their titles is secondary to AEW. And you look as far as who has held it, I mean, you know, ever since FTR and then Young Bucks a couple of years ago, whatever that was, it feels like the AEW tag team championships are used to try to elevate someone. And that was something WWE used to do back in the day with La Resistance and some others. If anybody goes back with me that far, we felt like they were putting the titles on people as an attempt to get them further over. It's usually the opposite. You award someone a championship because of where they've been and where they've become, and they are ready to be the leader of their respected division. The AEW tag titles feel like they're used to help elevate a tag team. So, and yes, you are right, TJ, too nasty for you. Diddy Dima! Everybody on audio, not everybody, but I always get, every week I get an email, motherfucker, I was half asleep listening to your voice, dozing off, and you have that calmness about you. And I know you get a little energetic, and I'm about to fall asleep, and all of a sudden, I don't know what. Diddy Dima! He redeemed another week. Just let the motherfucker. At this point, it's almost like Veer Mahan territory. You're like, he's coming. Right now, if they just, you can't release Miro at this point. You can't. Unless he gets injured again, or he signs some movie deal or something, and then you could use that as an out. But if he gets released now, people will always keep that over Tony Khan's head. Why didn't you just cut the motherfucker a year ago? You gave him all that money to sit at home, and then he left anyway. By the way, where's the House of Black? Where's the death sentence with tag team and trios wrestling? Where's the death sentence? They're going to beat Buddy Black on AEW Dark. That's that. Oh, by the way, Hobbs is going to be in action Friday. Oh, he'll be in action, which means that whoever he faces, Justin Matthews. Wait, why does that not sound right? Justin Roberts. Yeah, now that sounds right. Justin Roberts. He'll just announce the person's voice in one tone. You know, whenever somebody doesn't really matter that much in a company, you know, his opponent, Ethan Page, and his opponent from Dabner, Ohio, weighing 210 pounds, John Smith. Or he'll just say it all in like one sentence. If you haven't noticed that, he'll say like, weighing 263 pounds, Keith, well, 363 pounds, Keith Lee, and his opponent from Dublin, Ohio, weighing 165 pounds, Mark Jones. So that's what they're going to do with Hobbs Friday. So we don't know who he's going to face. Speaking of Friday, we have Jamie Hayter versus Emi Sakura, an eliminator match. We have Powerhouse Hobbs versus somebody, Hangman Page versus Wheeler Yuta. Next week on Dynamite, we have Bryan Danielson taking on another handpicked opponent from MJF, Timothy Thatcher. Yes, that Timothy Thatcher. He's been wrestling in Pro Wrestling Noah, dropped a little bit of weight. You know, we've seen some clips of him online. WWE released him. I mean, we know what the outcome of the match will be next week. That's, you know, why I don't like storylines like that. Like anybody he faces, you know, they're going to lose. But still, it's going to be a good match. You know, I think that would be a fun match to see. Next week, we got Hangman Page and Jon Moxley. The Acclaimed will be in action. We don't know who they'll be facing. It'll probably be like QT Marshall and Aaron Solo. And then Darby Allin and Samoa Joe, no holds barred for the TNT Championship. Another thing, you know, very nice to hear Caprice Coleman and Ian Riccaboni on commentary tonight for the main event. Chris Cruz doing the introductions, giving that little extra Ring of Honor feel. And, yeah, it was a good night. It felt right. And I honestly think at this point, you know, when you hear the commentators, it's never too late to tell someone you love them. It's never too late to this. You know, unfortunately, and we always talk about it, there's this rotation, there's this formula that I've been pitching for years on the shows. You know, something happens, we need to be better, we need to, you know, care more. And after a few days, it wears off and it's right back to the extreme viciousness. You know, it's sad. Everybody tonight online posting the emojis in tears, sobbing, you know, your heart is at your strings, and it should be. You know, let's try to be a little bit better. And I know that sounds so cliche, but I'm trying. I hope people have noticed over the last 7-8 months, me, it's just about having fun. That's it. I could poke fun at myself. We could have fun. Don't take things too seriously. You know, no hate, no clickbait. You know, yes, we could criticize. Absolutely. There's a lot in the world of wrestling that deserves criticism, but there's a much different attitude between hate and clickbait and, you know, giving constructive criticism and opinion. So, all right. We got to talk a little bit about NXT. We have an unfortunate injury to get into. And I got a DM as we're doing this. This is funny because I actually had this picture on cue as well. I thought it was hilarious. After Bryan Danielson beat Brian Cage today with the fruit roll-up, MJF comes out with a chair. And he instructs Brian Cage to further injure Bryan Danielson. So he puts Bryan Danielson's arm inside the cage and rams it into the post. And the attendant, doctors, referee, they're all tending to Bryan Danielson. We had another pre-recorded promo that was done earlier in the day from MJF, which I think is going to lead to a match between him and Takeshita, however you want to call it. He came to the save of Bryan Danielson after Cage rammed the chair and Bryan Danielson's arm in the post. But I thought it was funny was we went to commercial with them tending to Bryan Danielson at the ringside. We come back from commercial not even 2 minutes later, And Renee Paquette is in the back with the trainer saying, oh, do we have a medical update, Brian Danielson? I'm like, wait, that was not even 2 minutes ago. And the fucking trainer's like, yes, he's got to partially separate. I'm like, oh, God, it wasn't even like 2 minutes ago. And they're coming out with like all this major diagnosis. But anyway, the whole thing is designed for Brian Danielson to say, like, you're not going to stop me from wrestling, and I deserve that championship, and, you know, all I see in you, MJF, is fear, and, you know, this mask that you have on, and blah, 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 blah. You know, you remember that thumbnail I posted 8 months ago? I don't think Brian Danielson is ever going to be AEW heavyweight champion. I'll be shocked if he ever holds that title, because I always felt, and that's why we posted that thumbnail 8 months ago. Remember when I wrote, will it ever happen? Because I almost feel like when Brian Danielson signed with AEW, he said, look, I don't want any heavyweight gold. Let's build the stars of tomorrow. Put it on them. You know, maybe they could change his mind. Look, remember CM Punk? CM Punk didn't want the gold either. It's an interesting dynamic there that, you know, we probably don't understand anywhere near as to their logic behind it. I did laugh when MJF called William Regal and Ellen, he knocked out an Ellen DeGeneres or a British guy that looked like Ellen DeGeneres on meth, I think he said, which he was talking about William Regal, obviously. Listen, MJF is being a classic heel. I promise you. I don't know them personally. I promise you, somewhere in Florida, William Regal probably spit out his tea. He probably laughed his ass off when he heard that. There's no hate. There is no malice. There is no, oh, you befriended us by going back to WWE. It's business. Trust me. Don't. You know people on social media, that's fucked up. How could you say that? But William Regal probably loved every second of it. Every second of it. We got to talk about NXT. We got a pretty serious injury to bring up. Let me just clear some of this out because I actually took a lot more screenshots, but there was no need to play them tonight. Let me also give you a little announcement, too. This might be a little premature, but I think some of you out there will enjoy it. I mentioned it on Patreon yesterday. I'll mention it here, too. NXT watch parties on Tuesday, pretty much done. Unfortunately, with NXT, it is a much smaller audience. And, it is a shame to a certain degree because, you know, we got, especially in women's wrestling, there's a lot of names, you know, being built right before our eyes. One person who I'm going to show a lot of love to in a moment, you know, who to me, I honestly think should have been considered as most improved of 2022. But unfortunately, NXT, because it's developmental, it's not very appealing for a big audience. And NXT, with the watch parties, unless there was a giveaway attached to it, almost nobody would show up. And, you know, it just gets to a point where, you know, I work full-time, I got family, I'm married, I do podcasts 5 days a week, I got a lot of and, you know, the watch parties, they definitely have work involved as well and other things. So, you know, the NXT watch parties are pretty much done. But, I asked, and it's pretty much been granted. I just need to wait for the official confirmation. I will be hosting Raw watch parties starting as early as this Monday. So I know a lot of you out there are more into doing a watch party when it's a bigger event. So it will not interfere with my live stream on Monday because I literally, I'm sure a lot of you know my monitor. My monitor is like two big monitors combined. So when the watch party ends, I click end. And when the live stream begins, I click start. So the only thing that'll happen on Mondays that'll be a bad thing is my ass will be numb because I will be sitting here for 3 hours. You know, maybe I'll take some breaks here and there. And I will be moderating it. The watch parties, when it comes to Raw, have to be handled a little bit differently because there's advertisers involved. And, but the overall setup will be the same. So I'll give the official word probably by Friday. All right, NXT. We unfortunately have an injury to report. And believe me, I am not one. Oh, and by the way, I have it inside. The person that won the Nikita Lyons autograph photo has not claimed it yet. So if he doesn't claim it, you know, by the end of this week, it's going to be up for grabs again. But anybody that follows my shows knows I am a huge fan of Nikita Lyons. But I have to crack a joke where it's necessary. My friends, I don't think Nikita Lyons is doing that anytime soon. In fact, if Nikita Lyons is a true son of a bitch, she goes on TikTok right now and kicks her leg up in the air. Let's see it, Nikita. She ain't doing it anytime soon. And listen, some of her in-ring repertoire may have to be changed now. She has a torn ACL and a torn meniscus. Now, they did an injury angle in the NXT parking lot yesterday, but that was for a legitimate injury. They had to write her off TV. She is going to be out of action for quite some time. And believe me when I tell you, you know, even though that's pretty impressive, and I've always fantasized of doing a, you know, never mind. I wish I could kick my leg even like up to my chest. Listen, if I'm standing right now and I go to kick, I don't even think I could get to the level of my belly button. You know, all right, kick. I'd probably be able to kick you in the shin. That's probably as high as I could go. That's all you could go? So, but unfortunately, she may have to stop the splits. She may have to stop. And I know some of you are going to say, well, the splits is not really the meniscus. She's going to have to change some of her repertoire. It's almost like, who's that guy that got injured in WWE again? I'm drawing a blank right now. Somebody bail me out. Who got injured? Remember, I mean, his arms and his legs were so fucking huge that you would just, you knew sooner or later that rubber band was going to snap. What's the guy's name in WWE again? But I think Nikita Lyons, with the size of her body and being that flexible, somebody saying Triple H. No, who got injured last year that he lifted and his leg just literally snapped? My God, it's right on the tip of my tongue, too. He's still out of action. Oh, come on. Somebody's got to bail me out. He was on Smack. Oh, yeah. Rick Boogs. You remember his crazy strength? And you look at it, you're like, that fucking rubber band is snapping. You know, you just... You know, look, you want to do something like that, maybe you do it for like an X-rated scene. Yes, I went there. Or you just do it, you know, for like working out or something like that. But, you know, I don't think the body is meant to, yeah. So she's got a torn meniscus and a torn ACL. She's going to be out for quite some time, which is awful because at this point, Nikita Lyons should have had gold by now. In my opinion, she should have had gold by now. And, you know, I just hope this isn't a repetitive issue with her because that's a major injury. I mean, she will overcome it. Absolutely. I mean, if anybody has got that drive, you know, they stay in shape and work out, you know, she's definitely one of them, but not good. Rick Boogs, I'd have to look it up. We'll talk about that on Friday. By the way, shout out to everybody who's Boogs. Is everybody, I think it clicked for everybody at the same time. Everybody's like, Boogs. I think he'll be back soon. Maybe he's in the Royal Rumble. Never know. I think it might be a little too soon, though. By the way, shout out for the two generous super chats that came in. I will answer yours in a few moments. Let me just run through NXT for a minute, and I definitely have to show some praise for someone. A lot of women featured on the card yesterday. And if anybody thinks that's because of the hashtag for Monday, you're wrong because NXT has done this several times in the last bunch of months. Your main event was Katana Chance and Kayden Carter over Alba Fire and Sol Ruka to retain the tag titles. Originally, Alba Fire was going to go at it on her own. Sol Ruka became a partner. They lost. Electra Lopez over Wendy Chu. The Creed Brothers over Drew Gulak and Hank Walker. Fallon Henley and Kiana James over Ivy Nile and Tatum Paxley. JD McDonough over Andre Chase. And Tiffany Stratton over Indy Hartwell. And let me tell you something, everyone. You know, first of all, I think Tiffany Stratton has one of the most beautiful looking moonsaults that is in wrestling today. If you look at a moonsault, I mean, just remember a year ago, we used to talk about Tiffany Stratton. A year ago, looked like a model, in fit. Will she take pro wrestling seriously? I truthfully say this with no hesitation. When you look at year-end awards, you look at Rookie of the Year, as far as women's wrestling goes, or most improved, I honestly think Tiffany Stratton belongs in the discussion. She, in 1 year, and I've been watching wrestling since 79, look, she's not going to be the next Kurt Angle. But, you know, yesterday with a little shades of Kurt Angle, you know, if you really think about it, because yesterday we had her, watch this, boom, 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 beautiful. Look at that. Absolutely beautiful. Do it. We can show one more time. Let me let's bring it back. Bring it back. Look how beautiful this moonsault is. No joke. Look at this. One, two, three. Boom.
What a moonsault.
Two, three. She's definitely gets my praise. She's taking it very, very seriously. She wants it. And, you know, look, when you see other women who have been in pro wrestling for 5+ years in NXT, and in 1 year she has surpassed some of them. She's not main roster ready, but she definitely deserves to be in the discussions for Rookie of the Year or Most Improved. Unfortunately, because of its developmental territory, you know, perception of NXT, which it is, and because it's not a big audience, she's not going to get that recognition. But she is really, really putting it together, and cool to see the fans acknowledge that. By the way, speaking of NXT and in Florida, I mentioned this on Monday. I actually had a few people that, you know, I think they do it just to be assholes, but they're like, oh, DT, how do we know that you truly sent what you sent? Now, a lot of you know that we sent a gift to somebody in Florida, some pretty big gift, just cheer them up a little bit, you know, dealing with some issues, you know, somebody who's in NXT. So I edited out the, you know, the very specific stuff, but there's your tracking for anybody out there that thinks that I was full of shit. It was delivered on Tuesday. So if you remember last week on this show, I said if anybody out there has a good phone number for WWE in Florida, please send it over. And I know people mean well, but most of you out there, pretty much all of you, just went on Google. And yeah, I do that too. But luckily, Monday morning, I got a DM from someone in WWE that tunes into the shows on occasion and heard my show on Saturday and says, why didn't you come to me? Because this person hooked me up a little bit when I went on my honeymoon and was supposed to hang out with Tony D'Angelo, which he didn't do. But this person said to me, why didn't you come to me? I was like, well, yeah, I didn't think, like, no. And gave me the name, who to ask for and who to send it to, phone number. And it got delivered yesterday. So I hope this person gets it. So, all right. Updated lineup for NXT Vengeance Day. In a steel cage for the NXT Championship, Grayson Waller versus Braun Breaker. Let me tell you something. I still believe the NXT Championship, Braun Breaker right now is keeping it warm for Carmelo Hayes. I don't think Grayson Waller has any shot whatsoever, but over the last week, they have really did well that suspension of disbelief that Braun Breaker and Grayson Waller don't like each other. They shot some footage at the Performance Center of Grayson Waller showing up and getting into an altercation with Braun Breaker that people thought was real. I mean, they really did it well. Yesterday, again, another confrontation, and they are really, really doing this well. Unfortunately, though, my suspension of disbelief has not changed my mind of Grayson Waller possibly being champion. But you know what? Who knows? Maybe Grayson Waller wins it at Vengeance Day, which, remember, is next week. You know, we got Royal Rumble this weekend, but next week is NXT Vengeance Day. Maybe Grayson Waller wins the title, and then maybe he defends it against Carmelo Hayes at WrestleMania. WrestleMania weekend, I should say. I think Carmelo Hayes is going to come out of Mania weekend with that championship. I'm hoping we get some NXT stars in the Royal Rumble this weekend. Who knows? Maybe Bron Breakker's in the Royal Rumble. You never know. I think that's why so few names, you know, have been announced. I mean, they've announced some, but we're going to get some surprises. Maybe some will be from NXT. Gigi Dolin versus JC Jane versus Roxanne Perez. Yesterday, a little swerve by Toxic Attraction, teasing that they were officially split, and it was pretty much a setup to attack Roxanne Perez. You know, I think in the end, Toxic Attraction will stick around a little bit longer, even though, you know, we talked about them splitting. WWE sees money in Gigi Dolin as a single star. It's no rush. In fact, I saw a lot of people trending yesterday that it's time. Move Indy Hartwell to the main roster. And I just keep thinking to myself, like, for what? For comedy skits with Dexter Lumis? She ain't going to suddenly, who's she going to do, beat Dana Brooke every week? Or beat Xia Li? Like, you bring it to the main roster, and where does she get any momentum where she now becomes a contender? You know, not necessarily win a championship, but be taken a little bit seriously. I don't see that at all. That's why, look at Kylie Rae. She just did an interview. Wasn't it Kylie Rae that said that WWE, unfortunately, is not interested in hiring her right now? There's no room. Because it goes back to what we said. You know, big win, Triple H brings this person back. And then what? Just to lose? I think the way they've used Emma may be happy. Emma may be making some nice cash right now. But let's be honest. I think the way they've used Emma since she's returned, especially how she was built up over the years as Tennille Dashwood and how serious that character was taken, to me, this is embarrassing. It's nothing on her, but you bring someone back, Kylie Rae, yes, Kylie Rae, you bring somebody back, and then you realize they ain't going to leapfrog Rhea Ripley, they ain't going to leapfrog, you know, Charlotte Flair, they ain't going to leapfrog Bailey. You just go on and on and on and on and on. And then if Naomi returns at the Rumble, you know, how do you leapfrog like five women on each roster? You can't. Not now. So, you know, bringing someone back is good and everything. Why do you think Mandy Rose ended up, you know, being where she's at now? You know, they brought her to NXT, and a lot of us were kind of baffled early on. You think Mandy Rose's value, forget about the fan time stuff, you think Mandy Rose's value as a women's wrestler right now would be this high if she never left the main roster? Do you think she would have had that many wins or even half of those wins if she stood on the main roster? No. Mandy Rose's value, if she would have remained on the main roster, would have been hell of a lot less than it is now. That's a case where somebody going to NXT totally transformed their career. She might be the best success story of anybody who ever was sent back to NXT and reinvented and just, she the bug bit her, and she turned into one of the better stars. But still, you bring it to the main roster again, you know, what's going to happen then? She may challenge Bianca Belair for a championship. She may challenge Ronda Rousey. She may challenge Charlotte Flair. She may challenge Becky Lynch. She ain't beating them. What's she going to do? Fruit roll-up, non-title match? You know, she'll get the win when it's a non-title match, but then when it's for the title, she loses. So, all right. Dijak will be challenging Wes Lee for the NXT North American Championship. And then the tag team title situation. First of all, the New Day. First, it was a one-on-one with Gallus. Then it became a three-way with Pretty Deadly. Now we're going to have a four-way at NXT Vengeance Day, and people think it's going to be the Schism. I think the Schism are going to be your next tag team champions for NXT, but I don't know if it happens at Vengeance Day. We'll do predictions next week. And then Fallon Henley and Kiana James will be challenging Katana Chance and Kayden Carter for the tag titles. That's going to be interesting. As ridiculous as this may sound right now, I actually think the way they're utilizing the women's tag team division in NXT has probably been done better than anything else, outside of obviously Mandy Rose up to this point, because this is developmental. And the women's tag team division in NXT feels awfully balanced. Yeah, maybe 80% of the women right now, you do not graduate to the main roster, but it feels really balanced. Maybe it's not as diverse as it should be, but it is very balanced. So when I see anybody challenging for the tag titles right now, it feels very even. And that I think is a good thing for developmental. And then 2 out of 3 falls match, Carmelo Hayes versus Apollo Crews. So NXT Vengeance Day, Charlotte, North Carolina, Saturday, February 4th, is turning out to be a pretty damn good lineup. I'm looking forward to it. All right, one last thing I want to give you before we get out of here. I know it's not getting much play right now, and it probably won't get much play, but Frankie Kazarian did an interview, and he made some very interesting comments about his AEW exit. And he did an interview with Himanshu Doi of 411 Mania, and talking about his AEW exit, Frankie Kazarian says, and I quote, "A lot of guys are locked in for a while. I mean, I was locked in for a while. But then again, if I can fall on the sword, quote unquote, to give people inspiration, if they feel they are sitting on the bench when they should be on the starting lineup, if me doing what I did can inspire somebody to kind of raise their hand and say, hey, what about me? This isn't what I signed up to do. Then that's great. But that has to be up to the talent. Again, a lot of guys are happy just being kind in the middle of the pack, making good money, and just being on the AEW roster. Sometimes that's enough for people. Oftentimes it's not. It certainly wasn't for me. But when you have that big of a roster, and the roster they've assembled is huge and full of incredible talent, it's bound to happen that certain people, Hobbs, are going to be lost in the shuffle. How each individual feels about that varies. It depends on how much they believe in themselves, how much effort they want to put in. You only get out of this what you put into it. So again, if me doing what I did, my story, my decision can inspire anybody, I'm all for it. Again, like I said, you bet on yourself, that's a safe bet. And you know, we all know, what is going to bring us happiness. Basically, what he's saying is, this is not what I signed up for in AEW. And he was on the bench way too long, and he's trying to send a message like, hey, you know, some people are just, how many times have we had that conversation? That there are people on that AEW roster who are very, very frustrated, but don't have the political, you know, power or the friends behind the scenes where maybe they can speak up and, you know, voice a little bit of their displeasure. Some people are just happy to be collecting a check because you know there's quite a few people there. They ever get released from AEW, they're going to, like, disappear into oblivion. You might see them on a GCW show here and there. You might see them on some bullshit championship wrestling show, but a lot of them will just disappear, make chump change, and, you know, may have to venture outside of the world of pro wrestling. So, but yeah, I just figured if you want to go seek out that interview, very interesting comments by Kazarian that, you know, a lot of people are going to be like, shut the fuck up. Shh. All right, everybody. I want to give two super shout outs to Big Armada 88. People saying stuff like that to the family of the mother who died in the car accident is what makes me ashamed to be a wrestling fan. Mark Briscoe is a class act for sticking up for that woman's family. The entire Briscoe family showed sympathy and, you know, compassion to the family of that woman who died. What was she, 27, 29, 27? She was in her 20s. Again, we don't know the specifics, but it was a tragic accident. You know, it's horrible. And I'm telling you, when I saw what the Pugh family said about sending, you know, donations in lieu of flowers, you know, I thought maybe a charity or maybe some fund, you know, to that family, I was like, wow, that's powerful, man. That's powerful. And then when I saw the picture, I saw the picture of the mother with the two kids. And by the way, that picture was allowed by the family to be released. I don't want anybody to think I just stole it off a private Facebook page. That's circulating across the news wire. But when I saw that family photo and realized there's two, I will not be surprised down the line you may see the two kids from that woman's side. What was her name again? Oh, I have it right here. I don't want to get the name wrong, obviously. Shit. I'll tell you right now. Let me just pull this up. Let me just take this down over here. Hang on a second. Tanahan? I know the last name was Tanahan. Let me see. Oh, yeah, here it is. Lillian Turnahan. Lillian Turnahan. I won't be surprised down the line if we see, you know, maybe like the kids who lost their mother meeting with the kids who lost their father. They might be able to pull strength from each other. And listen, if there was no nefarious, careless action revealed in this, both families would probably help each other heal. You never get over something like this. I mean, I said last week, I could only imagine what that must feel like. I don't know how you don't recover. You just learn to live with it. You get a horrible tragedy, you just learn to live with it. You learn to move on. You keep that person's memory alive. You keep her goodness, his goodness, you keep their memories alive. And then people never die. And that is legit true. I mean, even when I tell my personal stories about my grandmother and stuff like that, so many of you out there know so much about my grandmother. She's been dead since 1991. But she was such a rabid wrestling fan, you know, that I love that I could carry on her, you know, legacy as a wrestling fan and what she got me into it. And even her goodness inside. You know, I have said this so many times amongst my family. I have family members who will say to me once in a while, that's your father talking about me. Like the way I act, oh, that's your father talking. Or that's your grandmother talking. You know, because you just pick up on things. But I'm with you, Armada. And theme parks with Johnny with 10 spot. Thank you, Johnny. DT answers this whenever you want. Oh, answer this whenever you want. Did I ever think Darby would go heel in the future? Yeah, why not? I think it would be, look, Eddie Kingston appears to be going to the dark side. I don't know how well that'll last because the fans just love Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston just looks like everyday guy. Like someone you'd be hanging out with. Like he's got a little bit of a belly, but he's so legit and real and keeps it straight up. And sometimes, you know, he could, you know, rub people the wrong way. He's not a saint. But like it's kind of like baffling to turn somebody like that heel. But that might be something that he's interested in testing. Darby Allin as a heel? Sure, why not? I mean, you look at Darby Allin. He's very smug and almost a braggart when it comes to his stunts. Me, if I was the owner of a wrestling company, you know, I said this 2 years ago, hey, you ain't jumping off no bridges no more. You ain't fucking going to do this. No, you're not going to risk fucking hurting yourself seriously and then I can't use you on TV. You want to do that, then you don't work for me. Of course, Tony Khan's not going to say that because of Darby might even say, yeah, I'm out of here. Don't worry about it. There's plenty of indie companies that would take me. Don't worry about it. I could see him turning heel. Sure. Why not? Would he turn on Sting? I mean, that would get him instant heel. Instant heel turn. If the time is right and it feels right, and sometimes when you unexpected the most, that's when it's the perfect time to do it. Yeah, I could see it happen. Absolutely. And King of Games with a 5-spot. Thank you. Hey, DT, I don't know if someone confirmed this, but yes, the therapist was a baddie. Yes! I knew it! I knew it! I freaking knew it! You were talking about the therapist from earlier. Unfortunately, I closed the file. You know the picture I showed you earlier. You can go on Twitter. You could see it for yourself. I knew it. She looked like the bad. I said she was a baddie. You know, listen, I'm married. I'm a one-woman person. So, and I'm not just saying that because she'll probably watch this show. But I'm a one-woman person. But beauty kind of like sticks in my head. And the opposite as well. If somebody is brutally grotesque, probably would stick in my head too. But her face, you know why? I'm going to say it. I don't care if it gets me in trouble. When I saw her tonight, the reason why I thought she was a baddie is because I remember a baddie a while back with Jade Cargill. And I said, this woman looks like a light-skinned Puerto Rican version of Red Velvet. And my friend said to me, he's like, wait, isn't Red Velvet Puerto Rican already? And I'm like, I don't know. I said, I don't care. All I know is she looks like a light-skinned Puerto Rican Red Velvet. And the woman tonight, like I didn't have time to look it up, obviously. I don't have my encyclopedia of baddies. You know, I don't keep that in the house, obviously. But she reminded me of somebody that I saw before as a baddie. Oh, Tiffany Nieves. Wow, thank you, Xander Elion. So we're actually breaking a little bit of tidbits of news right now. Tiffany Nieves. Oh, Nieves sounds Puerto Rican. Hey, somebody's going to get triggered with that. That's all right. So, hey, we'll end with that for tonight. If you were curious to know who the therapist was, Tiffany Nieves. All right. I'm going to jet out of here. Hope everybody had a wonderful night. I know a very emotional night, nonetheless. But as I said earlier, I'm not going to repeat everything. But in closing, no matter how much you got angry at WarnerMedia, no matter how much you got angry at Tony Khan, if the perception was he wasn't doing enough to fight for the Briscoes, if you're angry at people who were so silent about Jay Briscoe for the last couple of years, and it took a tragic death to really speak out and let everybody know the good that he was, no matter what your negative emotions are, that led up to this night tonight. I think at this point, we ended with something very good and something very, very deep, and something very, very special. And, I hope people could bottle that. And whenever you get the urge that you just want to snap and just start shitting on everything and just being a total dick on social media again, maybe you just open that bottle a little bit and just think about what has transpired the last 72 hours. And it's sad that a tragedy happened, but what's coming out of it is good. It's beautiful. It is selfishness. It is generosity, compassion, caring. A whole new audience of wrestling fans are now only knowing about the Briscoes and ever paying attention to them. And for the first time in death, people are now starting to appreciate their work. There's a lot of good that came out of this. And that executive world is always going to be that world. That billionaire and trillionaire world is always going to be. That's why the networks, the Comcast, the NBC Universal, the Fox, they want to deal with Vince McMahon. They want to deal with him. He's coming back. No, these billionaires and trillionaires, Saudi Arabia wants to deal with Vince. You think Vince would always go over there and there's always photo ops with them. These billionaires and trillionaires relate to him. You know, so this is their world. And at least a lot of compassion came out from their side. And in the end, the good came through. And that's how we should remember this night and continue remembering it after tonight. So, all right, everybody, I'm going to jet out of here. It's been an interesting 7 days, nonetheless. So once again, if you're around Friday night, you're more than welcome to join me for a special episode of the Don Tony Show. I will be going live right after SmackDown. So join me here, 10.05 p.m. We're going to do Royal Rumble predictions, and then we'll probably spend maybe 20 minutes talking about some quick wrestling news. Definitely want to get into that hashtag. Definitely want to talk about the Bellas clip and a few other things that are going on. But we'll have a fun show Friday night. And then Saturday night, right after the Royal Rumble, I will be right here again with your recap, which means no Saturday morning show. Boo-hoo-hoo. So, all right. I'm out of here. Much love, everyone. Be well. I'll see you all again soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.